It's September the 19th. It's a Wednesday. And business news?
Business news and a little bit of social media. And we start out, we're joking that we should introduce this as this week's There's No Way This Is Not Bribery.
Yeah. It's so we've covered this before. The Farmer Lobbying Group, which is a lobbying group for farmers' best interests, supposedly, sells out farmers and helps enshrine John Deere's tractor repair monopoly. So the Farmer Lobbying Group agreed to help lobby for a version of the right to repair law written by John Deere, which makes it really hard for farmers to actually repair their tractors.
At the heart of this...
Or get parts or documentation.
But at the heart of this argument is the software portion.
Yes.
Because there is software in the tractor, much like there's software on your computer, that will try and prevent you from using it the way that you want to use it.
Yeah. There was crazy stuff like tractors that are designed, like the hardware of the tractor is designed to work with ethanol or something. And like John Deere wants to block that and repair type things where it's like, oh, I need to get a replacement part from another tractor. Oh, that part wasn't serialized to work with this tractor. You just need to change the software setting.
Yeah.
It's just basic. Like, if this were the auto industry, like, this is the 19s. Like, this happened in the auto industry in the early 20th century. Where's the outrage?
Well, that's one of the arguments they make. Is farmers are like, hey, these are essentially cars, right? I mean, they're not wildly different than a car. These laws should apply to you. And they're like, oh, no, no, no. These aren't cars. So, what happened here is it's not exactly that the lobby group... They didn't overtly say, hey, we're siding with John Deere. But what they did was almost as bad. So John Deere agreed earlier in the year. They were like, all right, listen, we hear what you're saying.
Concessions.
We're willing to do these six things to give you what you want. And so they were going to give them documentation. They were going to...
Everything but actual spare parts.
They were going to make the specs on some parts available. They weren't necessarily going to sell them to you. But there were these six things they were going to do to... sort of concede to give the farmers some control. It didn't include software. The software must stay in place, they said. So the lobbying group put out this announcement and they're like, oh, we've made a huge, huge advancements. We've gotten them to agree to these six things, the same six things that they had already said they were going to do on their own. And in exchange, they weren't going to go after them on the software part. So basically they just... They caved in and gained nothing.
Farmers are going to have a real hard time fixing their tractors.
Ah, terrible.
It's crazy because a lot of farmers are like really actually very smart and very ingenious with the implements that they use to build it, like,
well,
to solve the problems.
They had a little infographic. If you click on that link and go to the bottom of the article, the infographic is basically saying, listen, you're too stupid. These tractors are so advanced. A moron like you could never hope. You're only going to damage it. So just don't bother. Just bring it into us. And it's very expensive. And there's also a, you know, logistical thing. Like, these tractors are huge. No one has a truck big enough to run it out to the John Deere dealership. If they have to come to you, that gets crazy, crazy expensive.
Well, they're just making sure that they'll have something in place for the John Deere service robot that you order from Amazon. And then it's deployed as a remote hands for somebody in India to repair your tractor.
But then who services the service robot?
That's another thing you buy the year after.
We talked about Google in the last episode and the Dragonfly search engine, which basically they're tracking everyone and giving in. One of the things that I forgot to mention on that last story, one of the blacklisted words is Nobel Prize. They don't want their people to know about the Nobel Prize. Well, at least one guy at Google is fed up.
The senior scientist from Google has resigned over forfeiture of values in China. So this guy's upset about not working with China, but the fact that they're not working idealistically. Like, they're not sticking to, I don't know, whatever idealistic values that they have as a company in working in these foreign markets. It's the pursuit of business as opposed to the pursuit of using technology to elevate all of humanity, I guess.
And he is a high-ranking guy in the search engine portion of Google. You get the impression he will be missed.
Yeah.
Because, and he, you know, it wasn't like they forced him out because he disagreed. they definitely wanted to keep him, and he was just like, no, I'm not being a part of this. And so he claims he knows of at least six other people that have done the same thing.
Some of the, not from this article, but some of the messaging from Google is around this in general, not just from his departure, but how employees are handling it, suggests that employees are, while they may be idealistic, that they're also naive. And I'm not sure if that's, like, that may be a very bad attitude for Google to take, because it may lead to more departures.
I'm sure there's some truth to it, because, Jesus Christ, we've got some naive people talking about, you know, the matters in the world. And they believe that...
Love will triumph.
Well, for example, they believe that we can have American idealism when America itself doesn't. Yes. There's a callback.
Yeah.
But yeah, I don't know. I think this guy is going to get great press from this. Well, he already has. And his value just went way up. Some other company is going to gobble him up. And they're going to be like, we're good to our people. And he, see, because he wouldn't work for us if we weren't. And he's going to make more money. So good job. Good job being the first rat off the ship, or one of the first, the first high-profile rat. Well, here's a problem that we've all faced, and I had no idea that it was this widespread. But, of course, you know that everybody deals with it, and everybody hates it.
Almost half of U.S. cell phone calls will be scams by next year, report says. More than half of my calls right now are scams.
Well, they said it's something like, I think it's in the 40s, or will be by the end of this year, and then it'll break 50%. In 2019.
Well, it's because it doesn't cost anything to call people anymore because no one wants to use the phone because it's inefficient and dumb.
Yeah, they talk about the people they polled to get those numbers. Everybody admitted, if I don't know that person, if I don't know the number, I don't answer it.
Which is why everybody's spoofing the caller ID now.
Yeah. And old people are probably just, because they're of that mentality. It's like, oh, what if something's wrong? And they're just getting battered by these people. It's terrible.
Somebody's going to have to send an email.
Well, if they have it. But yeah, it's just going to get worse. And we don't really have a plan on what to do about it because there's spoof numbers. And how do you combat that? They did get two arrests this year, I think.
Yeah, the guy in Florida was fined like $3 or $4 million, but he immediately went right back to doing it. And I think they arrested him again.
But he probably gained money net.
Probably.
Even after all that.
Probably.
So, yeah, crazy. Well, another first that's been claimed by Apple. But wait, Huawei did it the week before.
Apple and Huawei both claim that they are the first with 7-nanometer smartphone chips. And this is TSMC. This is I don't know what to make of this, though, because TSMC is going to be making 7-nanometer stuff for everybody because them and Samsung are, I think, the only people that have figured out this process. I mean, you know, the Global Foundries, we found out that their 14-nanometer process was basically borrowed from Samsung, maybe with a couple of tweaks, maybe not. And so this 7-nanometer process, we've got AMD lining up for 7-nanometer processes, Huawei, Apple. Apple, you know, Apple is militant about their deals. So I really wonder what kind of a deal Apple has struck with TSMC for this production and if it will create supply problems for TSMC's other customers for that 7-nanometer process.
It's also weird that they go out and announce it as if they did something.
Yeah.
You know, it's kind of like I've got a nicer looking car, and a lot of people are like, oh, that's a really nice car. And it's like, how do you respond to that? It's like, oh, yeah, I designed it.
I had the good sense to buy it.
Yeah, right. It's like, they won't take just anybody's money for one of these, let me tell you. But I guess it's impressive to some people.
Apple is like, we were the first to make use of the technology. And it's like, don't be disingenuous. No.
Well, whereas Apple and Huawei are the first to get to a milestone of 7-nanometers, Microsoft, as usual, is the first to think up ways to annoy us.
So when you download the installer for Chrome or Firefox, you get a pop-up and it's like, hey, you don't need to install Firefox, you have Edge. And it's like, what?
Well, you also get the pop-up when you go to download it.
Yeah.
So when you go to download it, when you install it, and the installer, actually, the blue button, which of course means yes, is ignore this and launch Edge instead. And the gray button is go ahead and install Chrome. And then when you launch the app for the first time, I think you also get that warning. It's like, hey, you know what's more secure and has better battery life?
You know what? I think Microsoft has stopped doing this because a lot of people were super outraged online and they were like, should we not have done that? Sorry. I really, you know, all that antitrust stuff that happened a long time ago was much more subtle than this. So I really have to wonder.
Yeah, but they're losing now. And I've said this before, I don't care how good Edge, which is Internet Explorer, let's be honest. You can rename it. It's Blackwater right there. You know, rename yourself all you want. You're still the same thing. I don't care how good they make it. I will never forget what they did to us. I will never use their stupid browser.
IE was that bad, especially if you had to work on IE, especially if you had to do like ActiveX controls. That's some PTSD stuff right there.
I'm going to be like that Vietnam vet who won't eat at Asian restaurants. I'm that guy when it comes to browsers. Well, Apple... Apple is claiming, hey man, we've got nothing to do with this, but that's a hollow argument.
Apple is deleting bought films from iTunes accounts and don't expect a refund. So if you bought a movie on iTunes and Apple no longer carries that movie.
No, it's the movie studio that no longer wants you to have access to it.
Well, I think it's the stuff that I read said that the movie studios were just removing access to those movies from iTunes in general.
Right, exactly.
So what is not clear, and I try to figure out, is if you had already downloaded the movie and it was in your library, if you got to keep it. I think that it wouldn't let you, like, it doesn't show up for you to download anymore when it's removed, but if it was already there, does it stay there? Because I think those are different things.
Now, I remember when the ebook stuff happened, they deleted them.
Mm.
So I don't know. They've also talked about sometimes you'll buy a 4K movie, which is more expensive than HD. But the movie studio will be like, we don't want to offer that in 4K anymore. So your 4K is downgraded to HD.
Yeah, that seems like that's some 1984 level stuff right there.
Well, it's a different product, right? Yeah. If you can charge a different price for it.
It's a different product.
Then it's not fungible. There's a word you can look up. And one guy reported that he called them up and they were like, I'm sorry, you bought those so long ago. The best we can do is to give you a $4.99 rental credit in exchange. Some people did get refunds, so I guess it's...
You just got to keep harassing.
It's case by case.
That's really annoying, though, because that makes you want to download your entire iTunes library and keep it local, if you can keep it, or convert it to another format that can't be taken away from you, because, I mean, that's a property right. Like, isn't property rights, like, the foundation of American law? Seems like you could take them to the cleaners for that.
Well, when it's digital...
Not really property.
Everything's off the table. Well, for this next story, I think we'd have to ask, what the fuck is wrong with PayPal?
PayPal's crackdown on ASMR creators should worry you. So this is, of course, Engadget reached out to PayPal, and PayPal said, we have nothing against ASMR. It's just sexual content that we have problems with. But a lot of the ASMR providers that have been cut off were not doing that type of content.
I don't understand. I've not watched or listened to these. So is it like moaning? Is that the sexual ones?
No, yeah, some of them. But there are ASMR videos of people like using a Model M keyboard.
But I'm saying the sexual ones. Like, is it like, is it somebody with a boot stuck in a mud puddle? Is that the sound?
Maybe. I don't know. I didn't do that much research into it. It's easy to imagine things like that. But some of the creators there, like the descriptions of the videos, are just things like the sound of brushing hair. The sound of
I've seen hair brushing.
Like the sound of a makeup brush going over the microphone. The sound of chewing gum. The sound of, and so it's just like
chewing gum. This Engadget article is very long. They go way into the whole ASMR thing, and they do talk about how it has been proven. Again, we'll talk about, you know, the scientific studies, the state of that. Who can prove anything at this point? But it's been proven that people with anxiety and stuff like that are helped by these kinds of videos. So.
Well, don't use PayPal for taking money.
I think that's a good rule. Just don't use PayPal. you'll get burned eventually. It seems like if you're not selling a physical, tangible product, you should never use PayPal.
Pretty much.
I think that's a good rule to go by. Well, not to be outdone by Apple, Google said, oh, you want to delete some movies? Well, we're going to change some stuff too. Go do it.
Google accidentally remotely changed the settings on a bunch of homes running Android 9. So battery saver just mysteriously turned on for a whole bunch of Android 9 users. But why does that capability exist? Like, the guy that wrote this article is not freaking out enough about that capability being there in the first place. There's actually a quote, if you scroll down, there's a quote in the article that's like, I guess this makes sense. It makes sense Google has this capability, but it shouldn't have happened. It doesn't make a sense. No, it doesn't make sense that Google has this capability. What is wrong with you?
Well, he defends it, or I guess maybe he's just parroting what they said. But the defense is both iOS and Android have this capability so that if they discover that there's some terrible app at work that came from their app store, they can remotely destroy it. Of course, if they find out that, you know, what if you're in China?
Putting on power settings? I mean, they can destroy it by changing
the system settings is maybe a little deeper than that argument can go to defend.
I think you maybe have failed as an operating system designer if it's like, let me change the power settings on my local device here, and it's got to do something in the cloud.
Well, I mean, how long has Microsoft been doing that on the desktop?
Not since Windows 10. I mean, before Windows 10, there was not really a lot of cloud anything. I think Microsoft is trying to get to where Google is, and they're doing it ineffectually.
But I would say, you know, with the updates resetting everything is what I'm talking about.
Oh, yeah.
So it's essentially Windows the 10. Same thing. Yeah. And you can kind of stop that from happening, but not forever.
Yeah.
So
time to go totally open source Android. Get rid of this cloud connect.
But you got to deal with the phone providers, and they're not always going to let you do that.
It's literally the worst of both worlds, because like, if you could back up your settings and your phone and like maintain your exact phone's state in the cloud, there would maybe be some benefit to the user. But as it stands, Android is kind of trash for that. I mean, at least in iOS does that fairly well in terms of like application state. But if it's like my phone is lost down the toilet or something, and I just go get another phone and I sign into it, it should bring me back to where I was. And it'll do that for things that are actually in the cloud. Things like, you know, I guess your email and your contact list and your calendar and that sort of thing. But for all of the little settings and preferences and all this kind of stuff, clearly that shows that they have the capability to store that in the cloud, and they aren't. And that's why I'm pissed off.
Well, we haven't been hearing very much from the crypto people. And that seems like a good thing, right? Because, they're militant. And they love to leave comments.
We're not hearing from them because it's Harry Caray.
Yeah, we're not hearing from them because they've crawled back to their holes. They are deeply in shame because it's not good. It's not a good time.
I don't think the crypto people are going to be buying the $1,200, you know, RTX 1080 Ti's or 2080 Ti's either, because, good Lord. That's just, how would you ever break even?
Are those demonstrably better at mining?
No one knows yet.
Yeah. It'll be interesting to see if NVIDIA, like, did they try to focus on that? Because they probably shouldn't. I think they've learned.
I would say that based on the fact that it has two 8-pin power connectors, that it is unlikely that those will be good for mining, because you would want power efficiency for mining. And so it's like, as a generational leap, would this actually be better? There's no process shrink with the new graphics cards. So maybe the 10 series cards, if the 10 series cards were like on super sale, then maybe that would come back for mining.
You get the same coins, but they're much more lifelike. Well, last week we talked about Stop Bezos? I don't know, it might have been the week before. But the government is paying attention. Trump has been after him for a long time about paying his taxes. Now the other side of the aisle is coming after him, and Bernie Sanders. He can't win, so he needed some good PR.
He's going to do $2 billion of charity work. So, woo.
Can you not pronounce that word?
Philanthropic.
There you go.
So,
yeah, this is going to be preschools and something else for young people. But there's an interesting quote here, because he relates the preschooler to the customer. And a lot of people are like, ooh. And it definitely seems like, you know it's going to be branded. And they're just going to be like, oh, look, the textbooks have come. Amazon Prime.
Well, why wouldn't we use my distribution engine to get the...
So, yeah, $2 billion, that is a lot of money, but it's not a lot of money to him. What's that, like 4% of his wealth or something. No, he's in the hundreds of billions, isn't he?
Yeah. A net worth of more than $160 billion.
Wow.
So, this seems like something Lex Luthor would do.
Well, he is the modern day Lex Luthor for sure. Yeah. But I think you do a great job of, first of all, it looks good. You know, you get some good PR. But indoctrinating kids, as we've seen, is the best way to do anything. And much like the Washington Post, you can shape opinion incredibly well with a newspaper. Imagine what you can do with a school.
Well, it might take 5 to 10 years to get everybody through the school, but yeah.
Well, listen, he's playing the long game. He's going to, how old do you think he is?
50.
He's getting that like blood transfusion and he's on growth and testosterone replacement. He's going to be around for a long time.
Ray Kurzweil is his live-in. You know, I don't know. I don't know what you call the thing that keeps you alive through unholy magic. There's a name for that.
I think that's a necromancer. Now, here's an interesting, I don't know. This seems, they do in the very end of this article, they go out of their way to be like, now don't worry, this could never be used against your will. But I wonder.
Soon your doctor will be able to wirelessly track your health through even the walls. Now that what you're talking about is the doctor is like, no, you have to do a specific enrollment procedure where you go through some motions and then it tracks you.
Yeah.
And I remember thinking there's going to be a alternative enrollment option for like Alzheimer's patients.
Well, I guess you could like pick them up and make them do the movements themselves. Of course, what if, you know, it's like, okay, let's do one where the enrollment movement is being slammed on the hood of a car and handcuffed. And now we got, so it's kind of like Bluetooth pairing. The way the thing works is with your magnetic field. So the idea is everybody's got a magnetic field and we're all different. And this thing can recognize, can bounce signal off of your magnetic field and tell what you're up to. Actually tell a lot of health related things about you.
Heart rate, breathing rate, blood pressure.
Yeah.
Remote blood pressure. So it's like a fitness tracker on steroids that doesn't require you wear anything. So we talked about the Apple EKG last week. This week is you don't even need that.
Yeah, it's amazing. If it's true, I don't know how well this thing works. But the idea that once it knows you, once it has a profile, then any machine anywhere could track you. So what if the profiles all get leaked?
Oh, yeah, they definitely will.
I should rephrase that and say, what happens when all the profiles get leaked? Because it's going to happen.
Even darker timeline, what happens when all of the profiles become nationalized and that's your ID?
Yeah, that's foreshadowing. So, yeah, that's it's interesting, but it's a little bit terrifying because of how much it knows. And because it can track all those physical things about you, it's going to know all of the activities that you're up to.
Yes.
That's... people are going to get them, though. People are going to want them.
Yep.
And they're going to be, it's going to make cute little graphs and exportable share on Facebook buttons. And it's going to be like, look how much activity I did today. Look how many times I had sex today.
It's like the runners thing where it's like the runners app is like, oh, I ran 7 kilometers today. And it's like, oh, there's that. Never mind.
Or, yeah, I ran 7 kilometers through the missile base that doesn't exist. Oops. That happened. Well, we know Amazon, they've got their cashierless store, and it's impressive.
It is a little impressive.
It's pretty impressive. Well, now there is a new company. I forget what they're called. It was like Cognition or something like that. But
it's not open very much. It's only open on Wednesdays and Fridays for a half a day.
And only one person at a time right now. There's a bouncer. But they're doing it. Now, Amazon uses weighted shelves. And cameras, and what wasn't there one other thing they used?
Maybe RFID tags.
Your phone definitely identified you. But these guys claim that there is a phone aspect to it, but it's only cameras that track what you're up to.
This store is apparently 25 square feet, but has 27 cameras. So there's about one camera per square foot, which seems excessive. But the guy here got like a bag of popcorn or something, and then he was like, oh, should I get a second bag of popcorn? And they got a second bag of popcorn, but it didn't bill him for it.
And there was another guy, the guy that came out before him, who he interviewed, picked up some mac and cheese and put it back and got charged for it.
Mm.
So it seems like they've got some work to do.
This is going to, in a major metropolitan city, the homeless are just going to have a field day with this.
Yeah, because, well, I think you have to have the phone app to get in.
They'll probably have a phone.
But, I mean, you have to set up an account.
So, almost could probably do that.
Now, you could steal a phone.
That sucks. Just, it's like a walk-in vending machine.
I love the idea of it. I'll tell you. Because self-checkout is a step in that direction, sure. But self-checkout messes up a lot.
Yeah.
And if they can get this right, I would be happy to shop that way.
I would like, I think that this type of technology requires that we sort of reimagine the grocery experience, because the ideal experience for me, like rethinking it from the ground up, is either that somebody just brings me whatever it was that I picked online and I don't have to think about it. Like I'm not comfortable with them stocking the fridge. But if there was a way to do that securely, like maybe the fridge is relocated to like the garage or something, maybe. But I'm thinking more like for the pickup scenario where I just, you know, I order the stuff online, I get a ding, and then I just get in the car. And just by virtue of being in line, the cameras already pick it up. They pull the license plate or whatever, and they're like, oh, cool, we got this dude's groceries. And it's just a very efficient, fast line through, you know, whatever, and somebody just puts all the groceries in the trunk and I drive away and I don't have to do anything.
Never going to work. First of all, produce and meat. Throw that out the window.
Oh, because they would give me bad produce and meat?
Well, you got to look through it and see what you like, you know?
I think they could close the loop on that because I could, it's like, you know, your picker was Tommy. It's like, Tommy did a terrible job picking my fruit.
But also, stores are never going to go for that because they actually, our local grocery store that I like, apparently, I saw one of those memes, and I was like, you know you're old when you have a favorite grocery store? And I was like, oh, I totally do. But the aisles are bigger, and it's cleaner. So they just did one of those whole store, rearrange all the shit. I hate that. It drives me crazy. But the reason they do that is because they want you browsing. Yeah. And what you're describing
would not be
is that. The enemy of browsing.
Yeah. I would pay $5 extra for the convenience of not browsing.
That might make it up, but probably not. Well, one thing about Level 1 Techs, we are not big sports fans, unfortunately. Krista, I think, watches Overwatch esports. That's about as close as we get. From time to time, I will watch a sporting event. I'm not going to claim to be a huge fan or anything. But when I do, one thing that drives me absolutely crazy about modern sporting events is the name of the venues, stadiums. It's like, Alltel Stadium. And it's like, how could I ever root for a team that has a telecom as the name of their stadium? That's like, oh, the New York Satans. And that's what depresses me most about this next story.
SpaceX says that it has
signed. Oh, wait, I did the wrong story.
You did the wrong story.
Oh, God, this was supposed to be the one about NASA branding its things. Ignore all that.
We'll find it real quick. We can do them out of order.
I don't know. I don't think it's in this. It's in nonsense.
Is it a nonsense?
It's a different day.
It's a different day.
Oh. So SpaceX, yeah, they're taking somebody to the moon.
Well, by the time this news episode comes out, they will have announced who it is. But as of right now, we don't know who it is.
He tweeted a picture of the Japanese flag.
Oh. So maybe the emperor?
That would be risky. That will be the first Japanese person to ever go to the moon. That happens. And they're not going to touch down, obviously. They're just going to fly around it.
Miyamoto is still alive, right?
What do you think that's going to cost? Because they didn't announce the price.
$3.5 million.
That seems cheap.
That does seem cheap.
I think it's more than that.
I hope not, because that would be a lot.
But if you want to go and fly around the moon, there is now a possibility. Now, you think that's a plus one? You get to bring a friend? Bring your wife?
Logistically, that'd probably be difficult. I mean, maybe. It would be. I mean, I don't know. It would be a cool experience to share with somebody.
Think they give you one of those flamethrowers as part of your package deal?
I worry, though, that some wealthy people, I don't want to say don't have the attention span for that, but I'm just contemplating, like, you know, it's like the figure eight thing like they did on the Apollo missions. And it's like, I'm not sure that those guys have the patience for that, because it's like they'll do the rocket ride and they're like, yeah, that was a lot of fun. And then it's like, well, now we have to sit here for the better part of like a day or two just to do the figure eight around the moon.
You think they'll have a Nintendo Switch on board to keep you occupied?
Oh, something. I mean, you'd have to. But then how anticlimactic is that? It's like, I'm on my way to the moon playing the Nintendo Switch, and it's like, this is an historic occasion, so.
Maybe you could just play that old Lunar Lander game for hours on end. until you get to the moon. Or you could watch Apollo 13 on a loop.
Wow, how bad would it be if something went wrong and it's like, we lost these very wealthy people trying to do the moonshot thing.
There'd probably be a pretty good insurance policy on that. Does the insurance policy pay out triple if you die on the way to the moon? Actually, that'd probably be an exception, right? You probably have to sign a waiver or something.
Maybe we can get an Uber driver to take us to the moon.
Well, unfortunately, we can't, at least in certain markets, because it's not working.
Yeah, Uber is not paying their drivers, so the drivers are not driving. So now there's surge pricing in wherever they're having trouble paying their drivers.
And even the surge drivers don't know what they're being paid because it's not working. So this is totally on Uber's end. It's some kind of glitch. And the problem is, so when you get paid by Uber, it goes into a pool on your account. And you use that money to pay your dues to Uber. But none of that's working. So no one can pay their dues. So as their dues come up, they can no longer work.
Some people were complaining that they couldn't buy gas and stuff like that to actually do the driving, so they just stopped.
It's ridiculous. How can you let that happen?
How much venture capital did they get again?
Yeah, it seems like they've just been falling apart for a couple of years.
I'll tell you what, Uber, you give me 5% of that, we'll get your problem taken care of in a week.
That's a bold claim. Well, the blockchain, they've got these gambling things going on from the blockchain, and they are getting hacked constantly. But this one actually used it as advertising, and they said, hey, look, everybody else got hacked, not us.
And then they got hacked.
Immediately.
Yeah. And there's a lot of money involved here involved in these gambling applications. I wonder if, because usually our law enforcement is pretty on top of things like that because it's free money for them. So they're usually pretty on top of stopping the online gambling because then they can seize all the cryptocurrency and use it for whatever they want.
Maybe they're not as motivated because the cryptocurrency is crashing. So this was an Ethereum-based contract that they used. It was a dice game based on an Ethereum contract. And it was an open source Ethereum contract. So somebody read the source and they were like, hey, there's an exploit here. This has a problem. And they just went in and took money.
Ha ha.
Good job. The one guy that was following it, one of the security guys, he was like, they are not covering their trail. So they might get what you were talking about. They might just get that money eventually.
Maybe it was a security researcher where it's like, hey, I did this for you. Give me a small cut. Here's your money back. That would be a cool follow-up story.
I don't think they've been contacted. Well, moving to social media, Facebook is looking to build another data center in order to store all of your data and sell it.
It's going to be $1 billion data center.
At least $1 billion. And it's going in Singapore.
So this is going to serve China and India. That should tell you about how much Chinese and Indian Facebook users are worth, which should tell you how much other users of Facebook in China, or Facebook and Facebook-related services are worth, which is a staggeringly huge number.
Well, China and India are on the ascent in terms of middle class. And middle class, they're the spenders. So,
and they need Facebook. Must have Facebook.
It makes total sense that you get their data and it's super valuable because you're selling that data to marketers, obviously, and they buy stuff. They love buying stuff. Whereas our millennials, as we know, based on every other article that's online these days, they don't like to buy anything.
No.
They're destroying our economy. Well, Facebook has also announced that they're going to attack those filthy Russians as hard as ever.
Now, this is the story. Okay, so after the Russia, Facebook is working on fact-checking images and videos by actually analyzing the text and pictures, including memes.
You're getting a little ahead of yourself here, but yes. So we talked about the deepfake thing, and as we all know, thanks to, was is it 11 or 13 that goes after the memes?
Oh.
I think 11 is the link tax, right? And yeah, 13 is the memes. So thanks to 13, our memes are in danger.
Not really. I mean,
I love the new meme where it's like Article 13 compliant, whatever, and it's just a bad drawing.
The darkest timeline is that they're getting these things passed with the fake outrage. Like they're wanting to pass something that's horrible. And they know the people will freak out. So they make it much worse than it actually is to get people to freak out. And then they're like, well, see, it's not as bad. And then it passes anyway, which is, it's a game of terribleness that's just unacceptable.
But you can't pass up the timing here.
Yeah.
It's like, oh, just as Article 13 comes through, now Facebook has a way to inspect the memes because they can search text. But how do you search the text that's built into an image, right? That's just an image. There's no way of knowing. Oh, wait.
Yeah, that's Rosetta. So Rosetta is part of that. And I think that this is, I mean, they're saying that they want to catch offensive language and harassment and stuff like that in pictures. But come on.
So here's an example. The large text there is Rosetta reading the text from the image. And so then it can be put through the filters. So if you think you're getting around the filters by posting memes with text on an image, not anymore.
So now you have to weaponize your memes by turning the text into something hard for the algorithm to read, but easy for people to read.
All meme text is going to have to be captcha text from now on.
Or what if it's like a, you know, the old Looney Tunes, like Screwball? It's like the, I forget what those things are called, where it's like a picture and you have to put it together into words.
Oh, yeah, I know what you're talking about.
It's like a picture of a screw and a picture of a ball, and it's like Screwball. That'll be the new, you know, for like whoever is the elected leader of whatever country, it'll just be a picture of that with a picture of a screw and a picture of a ball. And it's like, no, we can't.
So
they'll have to modify the algorithm to detect that.
We will truly be back to hieroglyphics.
Yes.
It's a full range of devolution back to the cave days.
I'm sure there's a screw and a ball in the emoji character set. Surely to God we could find that.
Those would be removed immediately because that's hate speech.
Hey, this, you know, the caption for our president says eggplant water. I don't. What?
Well, that's it for business and social media. We'll be back on Friday with, we got some robots.
With the memes while they're still legal.
Yeah, I got some memes, got the robots, security, and nonsense.
Or insecurity, as the case may be.
Almost always insecurity.
See ya.
We'll see you then.